talking a little bit about this summer, which really, I would say officially for a lot of people, started Angela's weekend. You know, if you think about it, which is weeks ago now, and so cool. One more time, thank you for that. I just think it's important to hear all the different voices that we get to hear in our church and then friends of ours, which is kind of what you and I were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so the month of July, we're going to get a chance to hear from what you just said, some voices here and some folks that we love that we've heard before who are going to be able to come and share thoughts with us and all of that. And
can I interrupt you and just say, like, there's a title for this thing,
which
I think is really cool because it sets us up for the fall. What is that?
Well, we wanted this the next couple of months to really feel like it was something that people could be a part of, even bring friends to, really to experience God in specific ways in the coming months. And so we landed on you're invited.
Which for me is just perfect because the traction and the momentum starts to build in July and then to August. And then it kind of leads up to something huge in September that we've never
Where
done
we're
before.
Going.
And then really from that, it rolls right into the fall series. And God has led us so distinctly.
Mm-hmm. It's so clear.
It really is.
I mean,
the more we talked about it, David, it was just like, oh, hello.
Wow.
It all makes sense. And I don't know why we're surprised by that, but God is leading us. And so I'm glad on that. So you were going to tell people like who's doing what?
Well, for starters, like we're going to get to hear from one of our campus pastors.
Yes.
This guy right here.
Robert Bergman.
And you're like, they're going to hear from you probably just moments after we have this conversation. But what are you going to be talking about?
Well, being that they're going to hear it in just a minute.
You don't want to scoop it too much.
I don't want to scoop it. But I would say the basic thesis, underlying topic that we're going to walk through today is rest. Mm-hmm. And that can, for a lot of people, that can stir up a lot of different thoughts about what rest is and what rest isn't and how does this work and what's it going to say and whatever. But I'll just say this. I think it's rest along the way. And I think there's maybe a little bit of a different concept and understanding of what rest can look like this summer.
Some of you guys know this, but he did this at Staff Chapel.
That was one of my big surprises when I came on staff here because I had never experienced that before. And it was such a surprise to come in. Everyone took a break from their day.
Which is not always easy.
So
you came up to me right afterwards.
Totally convicted me, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And you walked up and you confessed to me, and you gave me permission to share this. Mm-hmm. You confessed to me that for you, this idea of rest along the way is difficult.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even thinking through this summer.
Well, I try to capture, I do. I get to rest. I really do. It's great. But where you got me was sometimes in the name of doing good things and using all your time efficiently, I jammed too much stuff in there. And it was like, okay, Africa is going to be a big deal, and you may want to talk about that. But I found myself trying to schedule things on both ends of an already full trip. Mm. And along the way, God was like, no, you're not going to do all of that in one trip.
Yeah.
And so you did. You really did speak
it's
to
hard,
me.
It's hard, though,
and God
when, it's,
speak to
when
me.
It's good things.
Absolutely.
That makes it so hard for ministers when you know that you can make a difference.
And Angela, not even ministers, right? I mean, good things. God gives us good things to do, and you just get...
But that doesn't trump what he tells you to do when he says to rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good.
If I can ask you, I do want to ask you about the trip, because while a lot of stuff is going on here in with our services and hearing from these different speakers and stuff, you're going to be heading to Africa to reconnect with some of our ministry partners and friends over there. And so tell us a little bit more about that.
Real quickly, it's a trip. David will be there with me. It's a trip that we've not done before. We've been invited into new countries. So we will be doing this same leadership conference that we've done before. We're basically doing a three-country tour. So we're on tour. This isn't us going someplace and just teaching people stuff that we know. This is us learning. From people, how we can do what we do better here.
It's extremely intense, the learning curve, because you're learning from a culture that is both hungry, they are desirous of what we're bringing to the table, but in the process of communication, we have to learn culture. We have to come into their world. Right. We have to sit where they sit.
Yes. Yes.
And that requires a lot of energy. So every day, at the end of the day, we're just kind of looking like, whoa.
Yeah.
And God moves, and God shows up, and then we have to wake up and do it all over again.
Yeah.
And that requires a lot of prayer. So yes. I could solicit, for those who are listening, their prayers for balancing the intensity, for helping us in the warfare of everything, because we know the evil one does not want to see
That's
any
right.
progression of the gospel.
Right.
For a community that is saying, we want what you have to give us in a balanced way. And so we have to enter into some very thick stories. Yeah. And just trust that God is using our feeble attempts and he's magnifying it by his touch. Yes.
But the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is breaking into the world. That's what we're seeing there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it comes back with us. The kingdom is breaking in new ways here. That's what we've been celebrating. That's what Baptism Weekend was all about. The kingdom of God is at hand.
Right.
And it is a thing, but you're right. And thank you for just, you're right. We need prayer, Tim.
Well, that was going to be my question. And so you went there. So we can pray for energy.
Yeah.
We can pray for spiritually, for God to move and for, like you were saying, for him to just protect you all from the spiritual warfare that comes from a trip like that. Mm-hmm. What are some other things you guys would
just
add?
Just real practically.
Our church can be praying
just
for you.
Just pray for everybody's health.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you travel, you just never know. Pray for that. Just pray for travel mercies.
Yeah.
Pray for our gear to all work.
Yeah.
Pray
yeah.
for there to be power. I mean, it sounds so interesting, but we're doing this.
Can I add a couple things that I'm personally going to be praying for? And maybe you guys have things too, but other people might add to this list. But I'm going to be praying that God would absolutely meet you guys specifically on that trip.
Amen.
That he would use the giftedness that you all have and that you're bringing to that, and that you would be on, I mean, honestly, that you'd be on your best game. And I hope the folks in our church just know that I know when you go on these trips, you're taking a piece of all of us with you to share and representing us. So
absolutely we are. And we're gonna keep you guys probably more informed than we ever have, because the whole time that we're over there, we're thinking about what's going on back here. And so we kind of took
That's
a detour.
True.
I'm excited about where July is heading here.
Yeah. Joel, you're going to do a weekend in July, and I'm so excited for what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah,
so
well, really what it is I'm hedging my bets a little bit, because I'm going to bring in, like, the big guns. So if you guys know... You guys know Matt Leibarger.
He's one of those scholars and theologians that we often will refer to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is. So I'll talk for a little bit, but then Matt's going to help quite a bit on the back end, because we'll be going through some things that that is just really close to his heart.
To keep going through the month of July, so we'll get a chance to hear from Rob and then a couple of our favorite voices like Jarrett Stevens from Soul City Church in Chicago and Jeff Henderson from Gwinnett Church in Atlanta.
But then when we round the corner towards August, will you talk to us a little bit about where you're taking us in August? Because I feel like it's all building towards this thing that we were talking about earlier,
we're getting ready to
this momentum.
One of those weeks, we're going to let Pastor David Hawkins take the stage and do his thing.
Yes. That's right.
So that's exciting. So he'll get to be a part
of
that
conversation. Which everyone always loves.
Of course.
We won't tell them what weekend it is right now, but they can mark their calendars once they figure out when it is, and they'll be there.
Just come every week in August.
So you don't miss it. That's your best shot at hearing David.
Yeah, I'm excited just to not only always come to the Crossing family, but for what we're going to be talking about as well. Just been wrestling with the Psalms here. I've kind of been stuck in the Psalms and just the rhythm from Psalms 23 to Psalm 27. And David is not sequential, but it's there for us to at least see the sequences of it. And he has this big battle. And so the summer series is you're invited, and I'm going to add, and fear's not welcome. I'm dealing with Psalms 27. I'm going to park there and talk about just David talking about fear.
There's an epidemic of fear in our world. So I can't wait.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff.
There's also an epidemic of loneliness. That's something that we deal with in our culture. You can read articles about that.
Right.
They're talking about it a lot. We're going to talk about this idea that one of the things we're invited to in this spiritual life we live with God is into community. We're invited into relationship with each other, with God.
Isn't it interesting, Tim, how so many of these things tie together? You know, yeah. when you uninvite fear, when you invite surrender, and then when we surrender to God, then what happens when we get to step into community and we get to, you know, all of these things, they're just all tied together.
Right. Which, by the way, we really ought to just, like, shut this down so that you can teach, because you...
Yeah, I gotta go, guys.
We set the bar high. We set the bar high.
Yeah.
And you've got good things to say. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for all of you. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what God does this summer. And he's already done this summer. Mm-hmm. And then what he's going to do in the next couple of months. And all right, so we're gonna shut this down and let you take it over now.
All right. Deal.
All right.
Deal.
Take it, Rob.
All right. So it is so good to be with you all. I am Rob. I'm the campus pastor at our Grants Trail campus. Speaking of Grants Trail, it's good to be with you today. If you guys could just give us a minute, Grants Trail, I love you all. welcome to Fenton in Mid Rivers as well. And for those of you who are joining us online from all over the place, welcome. We are at the beginning of this new series, and I tell you what, we have got some ground to cover. We have a whole bunch of different voices that we're going to begin to hear from over the coming weeks, and what I get to do is just sort of kick that off now for the next few minutes with a topic that I think maybe lays a foundation for us of how God is inviting us into something. So I'm going to jump right in. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, if you know the rest of this story and how it goes from here, now we begin to see this master artisan, the creator of the universe, beginning to speak creation into existence. The light and the dark, day and night, sky and land, plants and trees, sun, moon, the stars, fish, animals, you and me. And then it all culminates, this beautiful poetic language of God culminates with the words that we find in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, this is God's word, and I believe that he's going to speak to us through his word today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do believe that. We're asking now that you would speak to us. We're asking that you would give us ears to hear. We're asking that you would draw us into something, God. We thank you and we worship you, and we're so grateful that that we get to do this life with you. So God, eliminate anything that would prevent us from hearing what you have for us today. We pray all of this now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you are indeed invited to rest. That's what you're invited to, and you can go all over Scripture. I mean, we started in Genesis chapter 1. You can go cover to cover, and you'll see over and over that God is very clear with us, that he's inviting us into this life of rest. But turns out, you can also go to your doctor, and your doctor would say the same thing, that rest is important. So there's a guy in Durham, North Carolina. And this guy, he has an office that overlooks this intersection of this road, where across the top is a train track, and going underneath that railroad underneath that bridge is a road. And turns out that this road, there's a kind of a low clearance for this road that goes through. And over time, as this guy's looking out his office window at this intersection, he's realizing that something happens over and over and over again. And as any reasonable person would do, he installed a camera to begin capturing what he began to see. Yeah. Sometimes they come fast and sometimes it's a slow, I'm not sure, can I make it? This intersection and this bridge that's there is affectionately known as the can opener. I'm sure you can see why. Apparently, over the last couple of years, there have been over 200 incidences just like this. And this is what this guy began to see over and over again. This kept happening. Now, before you go down the road of putting your civil engineer hat on and go, I got this. We just need to fix this thing. I've got ideas. Let's get together. Let's do this. Sometimes you think along the lines of, well, why don't we just raise the bridge? Simple, right? Why don't we just lower the road? Just dig it out and make the road a little bit lower. Why don't we just close the road altogether? Come on. All of these are great ideas, reasonable things that we could do, and all with reasonable explanations as to why they won't work. So, what did they decide to do instead? Do you notice? Signs. Just put up some signs, 11 feet, 8 inches. Did you notice that little yellow sign on the side? There was another sign, fantastic, big sign across the top over the road that says over height, and it blinks. But here's the thing. It's set up with all kinds of technology that as traffic is coming towards it, it has lasers and sensors that can determine how tall something is that's coming towards it. And if it's higher than 11 feet, 8 inches, that's when it starts to flash. Hey, this is not going to go well. You need to turn the other way. Stop. You are over a height. That's what they do. So the question for me that I'm asking is why don't these signs work? It doesn't make any sense. But you can begin to kind of think about this, and you can almost get into the head of the person that's driving these trucks. Over height. I'm talking about me. I don't think it's me. I'm good. Or 11 feet 8 inches. How tall is this truck again? For the life of me, I cannot. I'm sure I'm under that, right? But for me, what I think is actually going on is I think that more than likely they were simply going too fast to even notice the signs. So my question for you today is this. Anybody going too fast these days? I don't know, maybe you've come through a really busy season. If you're a student or a parent, finished up the school year in May and into June, and your graduation parties and end of year programs and all kinds of things like that, and you're flying into summer and there's camps and there's this and that, or maybe at work there's that project that you're working on and I just gotta get to the other side of that. And that's what we begin to say, right? I'll get to rest. I promise. I'll find my time to get to rest. I just got to get past this project. I just got to get through this season. And sometimes we even resign to the fact of, I'll rest when I retire. I'll rest when the kids are out of the house. I'll find the time then. Or maybe you're like, no, I do okay. I go on vacation. Maybe you're even joining us right now online from vacation. Welcome. But what do we say at the end of a vacation? I need a vacation from the vacation, right? So today, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about rest, but I want to talk about it in a different way, because when we begin to stack up our lives, rest becomes elusive. But I think that God is calling us to a rest along the way. A rest in the midst of everything. Because for a bunch of us, there are signs, and some of them are flashing, saying there's danger ahead. Be very, very careful. Slow down. Take another route. See, again, God isn't too terribly quiet about this. Cover to cover in Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, God creates, and what does he do on the seventh day? Rest. In Exodus 20, we see the Ten Commandments. What's the fourth commandment? Rest. In several places in the New Testament, we see Jesus. He sneaks away to a quiet place to rest. I mean, there are countless reasons why we need to do this. The point is that we need rhythms. We need to find places where we can slow down in order to get some mental and emotional margin in our lives. So, not too long ago, I had an experience that was one of those moments where it was like this big flashing sign for me. Because see, oftentimes God just will continue to nudge me on this. This is one of those things that God just continues to come back to and reminds me, hey, Rob, slow down. You are going too fast. Remember, we got to find margin. We got to find some place for some rest. And I was in another one of those seasons where one more time God was going, hey, big flashing sign. So if you remember a few months ago, we had at the end of a service here, we had sort of a challenge. That it was find 15 minutes over the next week to just get alone and to be quiet and make some space to listen to God speak to you. And just 15 minutes, that's it. We even use technology. We let you sign up for a text message that then would come sometime in that week that would just, it would just remind you, hey, don't forget, remember, take that 15 minutes. So I got home from work one day, and it was one of those days where I walk in and there's sort of a swirl of activity happening in my house. So dinner's being made and the kids are doing some things, and I'll confess, it was one of those days where my wife and I didn't do the greatest job of communicating about here's what's happening this evening. So I jump right into the midst of all of this, and I start helping make dinner. And it wasn't but a couple minutes later, my wife and daughter, they grab their things and they head for the door and see you later. And apparently they had something going on that evening. Okay, so it's just going to be my son and I. No big deal. Continue to make dinner. And a car pulls up into the driveway. He grabs his stuff. See you later, Dad. Apparently he had something that evening as well, which left me then standing in the kitchen making dinner alone in a quiet house, which was okay with me. So I'm thinking immediately, I have my plan. I'm going to finish. I'm going to take my food. I'm going to go into the living room. I'm going to sit down on that couch, and I'm going to eat my dinner and watch SportsCenter. This is going to be good. And then I remembered the text message that I got just a little bit earlier that day. 15 minutes, don't forget, find 15 minutes. And I thought, yes, here it is. This is my chance. So my plan changed, and I, instead of going to the living room, I went to the kitchen table, left the TV off, turned in a way that I couldn't see a clock, took my phone out of my pocket and put that away and said, this is it. This is gonna be my time. I'm gonna take 15 minutes now. I'm gonna eat my food. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna listen to God's voice. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna breathe deeply. This will be good. And I gotta tell you, I was doing it. I mean, I don't think this is one of those things where in the moment you're supposed to like be bragging, but I'm like, I'm pretty good at this. And I'm feeling like time is flying by, and I'm thinking, certainly, I mean, I've blown past 15 minutes, and I'm probably well into 20, 30, maybe 40 minutes, I don't know. And I finish my dinner, and I sort of push away from the table and take a deep breath and go, oh, that was good. That was just what I needed. And then I started to wonder, I wonder how long that was. And I turned and I looked at the clock, and I was shocked because it wasn't 20 or 30 minutes. It was 4. I'm not lying. It was 4 minutes. And I'll tell you what, I immediately thought two things. Number one, Rob, you eat incredibly fast. And number two, I am terrible at this. I am just terrible. I know that this is something that I am not good at, and I need to continue to come back to, and God needs to continue to nudge me on this. And I heard the message loud and clear. So I began to think and pray, all right, God, how can I find some ways now to create some margin in my life? And then a couple days later, my phone buzzed. And this time it wasn't a text message reminding me of something, like that 15-minute challenge or anything like that. It was a notification. And if you're an iPhone user, you might be familiar with this. It was a notification of my screen time report. Anybody get that? I know that Android has something for it as well. But basically what this is it is a notification that gives you a report of your phone usage over the last week. And basically what it's giving you is an average of the amount of time each day that your screen has been on, assuming then that you're looking at the screen. So mine was 2.5 hours, an average of 2.5 hours each day. Now, I don't know where that stacks up for you if you're doing this, if you get that screen time notice, but for me, I thought that was quite a bit. So to make me feel better, let's go ahead and turn to each other. I want you guys to, no. But if you're not doing it, turn it on and see what it is. But for mine, it was 2.5 hours, and I began to think, you know what? That's a lot. And that's one of those things that I'm realizing this is becoming habitual for me. This is one of those things that for me, I was realizing that over and over and over again, I'm picking this thing up all along the way. Anytime that I have any sort of margin, I'm filling in the margin with my phone. So I decided that this was something that I could do, that this was something that I could find a way to use this as sort of a challenge to myself. So I instituted a challenge. And I said, what I'm going to do for the next month is I'm only going to use this thing for text messages and phone calls. That's it. And a cold sweat breaks out across the room. That's it. So here's what happened. First of all, guess what that number went down to? 2.5 hours per day on average to 23 minutes. It was astounding. And as I began to tell this story to a number of different people and just kind of keeping them updated, hey, here's what I'm doing and here's what's going on, here's what I'm finding, it was amazing. First of all, the facial expression I got from people when they're like, what? Just text messages and phone calls, that's it? Yeah, that's it. And then it was always followed up with some version of this question. So like, what do you do? And here's what they mean by that. So like, what do you do when you're in line at the grocery store? What do you do when you're like waiting for your table at a restaurant? What do you do when you're waiting in the doctor's office waiting room? What do you do when you're in your car and you're waiting for your kids to come out of school or you're picking them up from a sports practice? What do you do at a stoplight? Just me. So about a week into this little adventure, I drove to pick my son up from practice. And for whatever reason, I misjudged the time and I ended up getting there like 20 minutes early. Heaven forbid we get anywhere early. And I sat there and I began to, what am I gonna do? I asked myself the question, like, what do you do? So what did I do? I just sat there. It was the craziest thing. And listen, at first I was frustrated. I was agitated. I was annoyed. But eventually my heart began to settle. And really, eventually, I got to the place of rest. Listen to me, it wasn't a zen moment where I just checked out. It was margin. It was space that I didn't fill up with all sorts of other busyness. And when we do that, when I did that, I began to notice more of what is going on around. And when we do that, we get a chance to allow God to speak to us. Now, I know for some, the idea of allowing God to speak to us, the idea of creating quiet and rest in our lives is a little bit unnerving because there's a swirl of worry and anxiety happening inside of you. And let me just say this, if that's you, do not do this alone. Do not succumb to the lie that what you need to do is fill your life full of busyness in hopes of escaping your worries and your anxieties. Dig in deep. Invite some people alongside of you. Maybe it's a pastor or a counselor, somebody that will help you move into the deep places of your life and your heart and allow God to heal up some stuff. But remember those scriptures about rest? When we look at the creation story, we know that God rested on the seventh day. That's clear. But have you ever noticed what happens throughout the creation story? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. A few verses later, and God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And still a few verses later, over and over again, we hear this. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You want to know what didn't happen throughout all of those moments of creation, the places where God is speaking creation into existence? He didn't say, let there be light, and there was light, and then he checked his email real quick. No, or another way to look at it, what didn't happen was the story could have been that God snapped his fingers and all of creation was created. No, the story is depicted differently. The writer is going out of his way to say, look, this is the way creation is happening. This is who God is. It is a God who slows down. This is poetry. God is delighting in what he has done all along the way. This phrase, and God saw that it was good. We find that phrase in other places. And it's used to describe an artist, maybe a potter, working with a lump of clay, beginning to form it and shape it. And along the way, the artist stops and steps back and examines and looks and smiles and delights and takes in what has been created so far, and then goes back to creating and forming and molding and shaping. This is the language that's being used here. And it's as if God is, as he's creating, he's delighting in what has been created so far. He's noticing, he's drinking it in deeply. It's as if in the midst of creating the universe, God stops along the way to notice the glory of his work. And this is the different kind of life that we're being invited into, to live a different kind of life. We're being invited into rest. I think this is the kind of life that Jesus is talking about when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, it's not about doing more. It's not about accomplishing more. It's not about earning your way into God's good graces. Jesus is saying, you come to me. I've already accomplished everything on the cross. Now, live the life that I'm offering you, and you'll find rest. Rest for your souls that will run deep. You'll find rest along the way. And as we do that, what we'll do is we'll begin to see life differently. We'll slow down just enough to take in God's goodness. And I'm convinced that it leads us somewhere. See, as I sat there in my car waiting for my son to come out of practice, it was really interesting what happened. I started sort of agitated, but eventually my heart settled and a peace settled in. And I'll tell you what, I found myself grateful. I found myself at a place filled full of gratitude. Jesus, thank you for my wife. She is such a gift to me. Thank you for my kids. Even though they're in the midst of adolescence, they are so fantastic. I love to be with them. I love to spend time with them. God, thank you for my kids. Thank you for my friends. And I started going through over and over all of my different friends and the way that God has put them in my life and how they're so generously, abundantly loving towards me and push me and speak truth to me and encourage me. God, thank you for my church. You are up to something incredible, astounding around here. And why you reached in and chose a guy like me to be a part of it is beyond my comprehension. See, we're invited to rest because I believe that rest will lead us someplace. It'll lead us to peace. It'll lead us to a place of gratitude. And that's where we're going to stop today. See, I think that this is an important place for us to now slow down and pay attention to some things. Some of you, you're looking at your watch now and you're going, whoa, hold on a second. We still got some more time. I know we did this on purpose. We want to now begin to do something together. But as we head into the next couple of months, you are going to hear, each of us are going to hear from a whole bunch of different voices, and they're going to begin to teach us about different things that God is inviting us into. And I cannot wait. And all along the way, there are going to be things that are going to be opportunities for us now to apply what we hear, to participate together in what we're walking through. So we're going to do something that we did just a few months ago with this idea of a text message. What you can do is you can opt into this. We'll put that up here right now. You're going to text invited to that number. And along the way, every week, you'll get a text message that will just give you a little something to remind you, here's what you can do this week. Here's how you can step into this. Here's how you can participate. Here's how you can apply this to your life. So you can do that. That'll be good. But then you also see up there a couple of questions. And what I want to do now for our last few minutes together is I want to give you an opportunity to just circle up with some people around you and talk. Maybe you circle up with the people that you came with. Maybe some friends or family, or maybe I've seen it in every service. Maybe you invite somebody in that's sitting around you that maybe you don't know. And have a conversation. How can you rest along the way? Maybe you take the cell phone challenge. Maybe you go, all right, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do the text messages and phone calls only. I had somebody in a previous service say, yeah, I'll do it in a month. Woo, let me just start with a week. Okay, start with a week. I don't know. But what? Make sure that what you do when you do that is it's a means to an end. It helps us get to a place where we're making some margin in our life to listen and hear God's voice, to allow him to speak to the deeper places of our heart. Maybe there's other things that you see along the way that you are using to fill up the margin in your life, that you're going, yeah, maybe it's not the phone thing. Maybe it's something else that I need to push out a little bit and say, no, I need to eliminate this in my life. This will help me find some of that space to rest. Be creative. Come up with some things around you and talk about that. And then maybe for you, you're going, I actually do okay with this kind of stuff. I do find places to rest. I do find places to have margin. So maybe for you, you go down the road of gratitude. Wouldn't it be a great thing for us to circle up with each other and just begin to tell each other, here's what I'm grateful for. So I'm going to pray, and then you've got time to be with each other, to talk, to share stories, to get creative, and to be grateful. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you are calling us into a life that in some senses is vastly different than the world around us, and we're grateful for that. So would you meet us there now? Would you give us wisdom and courage and creativity? And God, now may in the next few minutes, may we continue to worship as we share with each other the things that we're grateful for. So Jesus, we love you. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, talk to each other.